This season of The Next Step is made possible through a grant provided by Garo and Laura Artinian of Sydney, Australia, in memory of George Samarjan, and by listeners like you. Donate at epostle.net.
Susie Within His Shoes Ministries. Welcome to our seventh year of broadcasting on epostle.net. We welcome you and thank you for making The Next Step with Father Vazgen the premier listening experience about spirituality through Orthodoxy. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. These shows are produced every week at epostle.net for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
This is Father Vazgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 329 of The Next Step, a podcast, well, that puts it all together, that connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. How about that? Three dots there, huh? This is a podcast that looks at life through the lens of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. This Armadox look is brought to you by the cool folks at epostle.net and part of the expanding vision of the Inishu's mission. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. Hey, good to have you with us. It is a beautiful day here in Southern California. I'm broadcasting from Epostle West from our Glendale studio. It's just good to have you aboard, whether it's a good day near you or it isn't. We are already in autumn. Yes, we just passed the autumnal equinox. And so it signals an end to summer. Some beautiful trees and leaves falling. And I guess that's why they call it fall. It is September 25th, very special day for me. It is, well, I'm one of those guys that looks at those numbers and those dates, 925. Yeah, it was back in 1977, right on that day that I left for Armenia for the first time as a student to be a seminarian at the Sea of Holy Etchmiadzin. And it was a few years later, back in 1982, on that same day, that I renounced the heretics. Yes, that's a big one, you know. Before a priest becomes ordained, there is what is called the service of calling. And a whole list of heretics are recited by the archbishop. And then he demands that the new priest-to-be, he renounce these people. And it's kind of always interests me because, you know, if we didn't remember these heretics, nobody else would. You know, like, who's Nestorian? You know, like, how many Nestorians are there in the world? Well, there certainly are. But, you know, we start renouncing these people and we've given them credibility. But isn't that the case usually? You know, you have to make the enemies out of these people so that you can look a little bit better. Of course, there's theological implications too, because all these heretics we're basically pronouncing faiths other than what the Christian faith is. That's what I want to share with you today, is like, how pure is our Christian faith? You know, we talk about Christianity, and there are so many dimensions to it. I'm going to be sharing with you a few ideas about that, about the purity of our faith. We're going to be looking at a concert that I went to. Actually, we might kick it off with that right now. Last Saturday night, I was invited by the Lark Musical Society to attend their commemoration of the centennial of the Armenian Genocide. You know, next year it's going to be a big one. It's going to be 100 years since the Armenian Genocide took place, 1915 to 2015. And so the Lark Musical Society, a very prominent society here in Southern California, put together a beautiful concert. I have to tell you, one of those concerts that I enjoyed from beginning to end. And perhaps it was the company, too. I was with my son, Badrjan, and perhaps it was the entertainment in there, too. But it was just such a high-caliber concert. It was symphonic music and choral music. And it featured Serge Tankian from System of a Down. And he had written, orchestrated a couple pieces, and so he gave the introduction to those pieces. But before that, let me share with you some of the events that took place. First of all, it was at the Ambassador Auditorium here in Southern California, in Pasadena, and I had never gone to this auditorium. I had been to the school that's right next to it, Maranatha, attending a graduation service. But lo and behold, a beautiful program they put together, a booklet. And I opened it up, and the first thing that it says, "Welcome to the Ambassador, home of H-Rock Church." And it was an insert inside the program. And I turned to Badrjan and I said, you know, I bet you this was part of the contract, that in order to use this auditorium, that they had to put their little advertisement in there too. And sure enough, just before the concert started, a minister came up on stage and said that, you know, "We welcome you. We realize, you know, you're a group here to listen to beautiful artistic music." And he said, "I want to remind you that this is a church and that we have services tomorrow morning. You're welcome to attend." And I thought to myself, wow, good for him, you know. How many times do we offer our church for different events and we shy away from telling people, "Hey, come to the church. You know, this is a church and there is a service." We shy away from it, I think, for a variety of reasons. I got to thinking about it. Well, one of the reasons is, you know, what can you offer the people? What can you offer through a liturgy if they don't understand? You know, and second of all, I think that it takes a commitment, and this is a commitment that you just don't see within Orthodoxy, this type of commitment. Certainly, I don't see it among the Armenian church, a commitment to say that, "Hey, I believe in my product," right? I believe in my product. And certainly, I mean, how many of us believe in it? I mean, we clutter it up with festivals and events, and you could just, I mean, go through the internet and you could see what Armenian churches are posting up. I mean, their big draw card is, "Hey, come to the food festival, come to this dinner dance, come to this event," you know? That's to support the church. That's like, you know, I've shared this with you many, many times. It's like you have a product and you don't believe in it. "Hey, I'm a shoe store, but instead of coming in to buy the shoes, you know, why don't I sell you this orange, because this orange is just delicious." Why? I'm selling shoes. You know, how about telling you about the leather on the shoes? How about telling you about the ties that we use on the shoes and asking you to try one on? Well, it's the same thing with the church, right? We have to believe in it first. And that takes a commitment level, right? It takes a commitment to believe in the product. And certainly on the outside, if you listen to it, you probably think that, okay, you know, what's he talking about? Of course people believe in it. They're working for it. It is their church. But in a real sense, you have to wonder, I mean, how many times do we get up and tell people that, "Hey, we have a product called the Holy Divine Liturgy, and you need to check into it." And it is just as equal as getting up and saying that, you know, hey, I have a shoe and it's a very nice shoe. Try it on, you know, and then feel how comfortable it is. Look what it does for your arches. It's the same thing. It's whatever product it is. If you have a commitment to it, you have to believe in it, and that's how you sell it. And anyway, I was impressed that this man did this. But the symphony, just a beautiful, beautiful symphony that was in two parts. And I have the program in front of me. I want to share with you a couple of the events that took place. First of all, the main speaker who welcomed everybody got up, and he had a moment of silence because, of course, it was the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide that they're kicking off. They're going to have 100 events, artistic events. And he got up and he said, well, I want to also remember the other genocides that took place and the victims of those genocides. And so he got on and he listed off, of course, the Jews during the Holocaust, remembered the Cambodians, remembered Bosnia. And then he went on to say that, you know, we remember what's going on right now with ISIL or ISIS, whichever way you decide to pronounce this Islamic State terror campaign and the genocide. And he went on to say the first genocide, what may be the first genocide of the 21st century. And I thought to myself, you know, well, of course there was Darfur, and there still is Darfur that's taking place. And what got to me was, here I was as an Armenian who's always brushed aside, whose Armenian genocide is never remembered. At what point do we stand up and say that, okay, hey, just as we were the people who are never remembered, or we are the people that are never remembered, let's not forget, you know, that there was a genocide that took that began in 2003, a genocide, a systematic campaign of annihilation against the people in Darfur. And, you know, it's dismissed. It just goes on because you just don't have the time, you don't have the opportunity to stand up. Of course, afterwards I went up and I told him, but by that time, of course, the time had gone by. And it wasn't the opportune time. You can't go back on a program and say, oh, by the way, I forgot. And this is why I always say that this program of education, of staying vigilant and talking about topics, sometimes I know people get tired of it, but you cannot get tired of educating, of telling people, because there's always a new generation of people that will overlook these events. So anyway, he got up and he made this reference to the genocides that had taken place, and there was a moment of silence, and then began the concert, just a two-part concert that really spoke to me. It spoke to me on a multiple of levels. I'm going to share with you the first part of the concert, and then after the song of the day today, we'll get into the second part. But the first part was all classical music. It started off with Armen Dikranyan's Anush, which, of course, those of you who've been following me know that it is one of my favorites. It started off with, and let me just read the headers, because these are words that are taken right out of the symphonies that they played. Woe to you, brave one, woe to the mountains you loved. So this was the prologue. And the second one by Beethoven, hope whispers softly to me, you shall find peace. Hope whispers softly to me, you shall find peace. Ludwig von Beethoven. The second portion of this was called Memories of the Fatherland. So we get from the prologue to talking about the loss that they've had. O Fatherland, no one is bold to shed a tear for your suffering. From Macbeth, and O Golden Harp of Poets, rekindle our hearts' memories, speak of times gone by. This was a piece by Verdi. And so in this symphonic atmosphere, in this concert, we are talking about a mutual experience that humanity has, that so many people have had, and I loved it. You know, it's not just an Armenian plight, it's the plight of all of humanity. And if you think about it, it's the woe that you have, but you see the hope in tomorrow, but of course you lose. You lose so much of your life, whether it's a fatherland, whether it's a home, whether it's your life that you've lost. And then came the third portion of this concert, which was Our Answer is Love, and playing scores from Wagner, Verdi, Mozart, Bellini, and again, it culminated with Wagnerian with the Wagnerian piece, Salvation is Granted to the Penitent Who Shall Enter into the Peace of Heaven. And these religious overtones, undertones, were all spread out through the symphony. And I just loved it because we're talking about a language that transcends religion, but a language that is so open to the human spirit. About the love. The answer is love, they said, and they're pronouncing it. And obviously, this is the only answer that we do have, because you can't fight fire with fire. You fight fire with water. You can't fight hatred with hatred. You fight hatred with love. And so love is the answer. So this was the entire first portion of this concert that we went to. Just so well orchestrated, put together. We even had a beautiful song that was sung by Shushan Iqbar Sumian. She sang an aria, a Bellini aria, and oh, what a voice. What a voice took us away. And so this was the first portion, the first half of the concert. We took a break then, and Serge Tankian came with the second portion. And he introduced two symphonic works that he had written and were now going to be performed on the Lark stage. So let's take a break right now. Let's listen to the song of the day. And what do you suppose I'm picking for the song of the day but a Serge Tankian tune? This is off of his album. It's called Disowned Ink.
Hesitation matching mine. Sadness left me far away, yeah. Your contemplation turned to wine. An old man stares at me in mutual bizarre reverie. Laugh at thy neighbor, pretend you were sane just the same. You survived in vain. Laugh at thy neighbor, pretend you are sane just the same. You survived in vain. Time is the father of existence. Rhyme the brother of resistance. Broken down by men in their crazy mind. Void is the mother of unknown distance. Will the sister of persistence, stripping under the elusive sky. The potion of devotion, euphoric scriptures of the ocean. Laugh at thy neighbor, pretend you are sane just the same. You survive in vain. The father of existence, rhyme the brother of resistance, broken down by men in their crazy minds. For is the mother of unknown distance, will the sister of persistence, stripping under the elusive sky. I fell
Serge Tankian off of his album. It's called Disowned Ink. And I'll put a link on today's show notes so you could check out all of his music and not only this song, but I picked this one out particularly. I think there's a freshness. I feel this with a lot of the musicians that I listen to even right now. When youth has that rebellion in it, and I just enjoy that rebellion. It is something that somehow gets diminished as the years go on, and it's important to sync up to it. And I hope you enjoyed it. A little bit different. Serge Tankian.
I spent a long time looking, oh, for a game to play. My luck should be so bad now.
Let me share with you the second portion of the concert, which featured Serge Tankian's work, his orchestral works, one called Orca, and another one which was premiered. It was called We Pray for Peace, the 100 years, actually, it's called. It's the 100-year event of the Armenian Genocide. And I was intrigued by the first piece, Orca, which he got up, personally he got up and he introduced. I'd say maybe about 1,000 people, maybe a little bit more in this auditorium. It wasn't packed, but it was pretty full. And thunderous applause, and rightly so, deserving, a young man who's made it and hasn't forgotten his roots, hasn't forgotten where he's come from. And he got up and he introduced the first orchestral piece called Orca. And he explained that he had written this on the shores of Australia, of New Zealand, I believe. And he talked about the orca, the killer whale, and how it is, it has within it its instinct to kill. It also has within it its instinct to save. And he reminded us that the killer whale was part of the dolphin family and known for bringing lost people back home. And so he asked us to really embrace the good and the bad in all things, in all creation. And I found that to be such a spiritually uplifting message that, you know, we talk about so much here on The Next Step. It just really clicked with me, because it is that opportunity to look beyond the actions of a person and see that the presence of God is within everyone, in everyone's soul. And if we understand that, we understand that, you know, we don't have that option in life to put up those barriers, those borders. When Christ talks about God makes it rain on the good and the bad, God reserves his judgment. It's not about judging people. Ours is not to judge people. And over and over, Christ talks about this. And that whole idea of a chosen people, you know, he dismisses it. What do you mean chosen? Isn't all of creation chosen? It's so important to understand within a Christian reality that this idea of one group of people being chosen or favored over another is absurd. I mean, we live in a pluralistic society. We live in a global society, and it's not up to us to say that I'm better than you. My brand of religion is better than yours. There is good and bad in all of humanity. A lot of times we see this, people will judge a group of people based on the actions of a few. And everybody does this, and until it comes to you. And for instance, I'm a Christian. How would I like to be blamed for all the idiotic actions that some Christians take? I'm an Armenian. How would I want to be blamed because of the actions of a few people, because of the mistakes of a few people? It's not up to me to judge others. And likewise, I don't want to be judged on other people. I want to be, as Martin King says so eloquently, he says, a day when we will be judged on the content of our character. Who am I? How do I fit in? Not on who am I because of the makeup, but how do I fit in? And how am I interacting with the people around me, with the relationships that I have? And so this first piece that they played was called Orca. It's called the Orca Symphony. And I have to tell you, you know, it was so well done because you can actually, a lot of the riffs, a lot of the music that was played, they were familiar tunes, but they were familiar in the sense that you were also hearing it for the first time. And it was fascinating for me. You know, I think it was in the Muppet movie. They said, there's not a word yet for friends who just met. In the same way, there wasn't a word to describe these melodies that they sound strangely familiar, yet it's the first time that you're hearing it. And I closed my eyes for a few minutes and really imagined those orca, those killer whales and the dolphin within them, the good and the bad, swimming through the waters, and the harmony that they have with nature. It's we that disrupt the harmony by looking at them and labeling them as killer whales. No, they are part of the dolphin family, and they are just getting along with their lives. How dare we impose our judgment upon them? Maybe I read a little bit too much into it, but I have to tell you, it really ditched my heart. This piece that he got up and he introduced was called The 100 Years, and this was just beautifully done. An orchestral and choral arrangement with the singing of the traditional Dervohormia. I think it's a little bit overdone from my point of view because, well, being a churchman, I know that there's so much out there. But I could see how he incorporated that within this symphony. And I have to tell you, this was the first symphony that I had at least heard. It was basically, you can call it a concerto for duduk and orchestra. Duduk and symphony. It's the first time. In the second piece, he incorporated not only the duduk, but he also incorporated the kanun and the kemanche. Just beautiful ethnic Armenian instruments that synced up, that were in concert with the rest of the symphony. And then the choral arrangement with this beautiful, I would say at least 100-person choral group, men and women singing the Dervohormia. So all in all, just a concert that I wish was recorded. I wish that there is a way that it's going to be available for people. And if it is, I will definitely let you know about it because I think it's worth a listen to. It's worth certainly more than that for me. He did mention that the Orca Symphony had been recorded. So as soon as that is released, I'll make sure that we let the next steppers know about what the next step is. So that was a concert. It took place last week. It was called Perennial Pilgrims. Very interesting title, considering that, yeah, the Armenians are basically perennial pilgrims to different lands. It was in commemoration of the centennial of the Armenian genocide. And there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out about the Armenian genocide. And we will be monitoring it. I had a chance last night to present a piece on that. And as I promised, we're going to be talking a little bit about pure Christianity. We'll get back in just a moment.
There's a black cat down on the quayside. Ship slides, green eyes glowing in the dark. Two young cops handing out a beating. Knows how to hurt and leave no mark. Yeah, down in the half-lit bar of the hotel, there's a call for the last round of the day. Push back the stool, take that elevator right. Fall in bed and kick my shoes away. And kick my shoes away. And kick my shoes away. Rocks on the road.
Mm. Speaking of perennial pilgrims, last night I had a chance to talk about the pilgrimage that we took. I had an opportunity to share slides and stories from that incredible pilgrimage to Mount Ararat that we had last summer. And, of course, three areas around Mount Ararat, namely the Republic of Armenia, Artsakh, and ultimately Western Armenia. And it was, I would say, maybe 100, maybe a little bit more than that, people gathered at the Zorayan Museum. And at the conclusion of my talk, I premiered the 100-Year Journey. And that's a new project that we're embarking on. It does require lots of money. I'm doing it with Gregory Baylarian, a renowned artist that we've done many projects with, talking about the themes of faith, hope, and love, but beyond that also about forgiveness, about the power of love in changing the world, the opportunity that we have to be able to look beyond our own circumstances and understand that we do have a responsibility. And, you know, this has been a prominent and a recurring theme within my ministry, that enough is enough, that you can't keep going out and demanding people to recognize a genocide if you're not recognizing it. It goes back to the shoe analogy. I mean, you have to believe in what you're doing, and you can't do it from the comfort of your home. You have to actually put your feet in the shoes of others and understand that other people do have pain. And that's the whole In His Shoes movement that we have. And so we premiered the 100-Year Journey trailer, and I'll make sure that there's a link on today's show notes. Do check it out, okay? So you'll know where we're going, what we're doing. In fact, this Monday I leave for a trip to Armenia to make some plans for broadening our scope and broadening our efforts in this respect, the In His Shoes mission. And I'll be meeting with a lot of people over there that need to understand that we are more than just a small little group of people. We can have a dynamic influence on the rest of the world when we can tap into these elements. Christ talks about when the kingdom of God is like a merchant in search of a fine pearl. And when he finds that pearl, he sells everything to acquire that pearl. And think about it in these terms. When you understand peace, when you understand love, we're all looking for love. We're all looking for peace. And when you find it, you will do anything to make sure that you can secure it, that you can have it. And that's really what we're after. I have found that. I have found that pearl of great value. And I find it within the tradition, within the faith that we have, this faith that is bought, that is around faith, hope, and love. Here's a group of people landlocked and surrounded by enemies, and yet they've been able to stay alive. Why? Because of these elements of faith, hope, and love. Now, imagine if we can, let me use the word, market this for the rest of the world. Exploit this so that the rest of the world, now struggling with so many acts of violence, hideous violence on such massive levels, if we could understand this, that there is a hope for peace, and that peace begins with us understanding how delicate the balance of life is, and that it's up to us to react, proact to the circumstances in a manner of love. And this is just not just some words that we throw out because, you know, it's so easy to talk about, well, we need to love each other. We need to understand people. We want peace. Yeah, everybody wants peace. Everybody wants to understand. Everybody wants to be an agent of love. But how do you do that? And certainly In His Shoes is the means by which we do it, by understanding, by walking in the shoes of others, by feeling their pain, or as Armenians say, tsavadanim, let me understand your pain. Let me pick up your pain and click in with you. Once I understand, I have a respect for you, and in that respect, that love develops. It's a very simple process. But there is a process. You do need that process. Now, as I said earlier, I wanted to talk a little bit about purity of faith, because it's occurred to me, because so many people have been writing to me and sharing their thoughts with me, it occurs to me that what we do present over here on the Next Step is what's called armadoxy, and we do need to label it and brand it as such. And here's why, because I've gotten a few people who've commented, okay, we bought into this whole thing, and then we went to the Armenian church, and really, we're not finding what you're talking about. Yeah, well, okay. I do need to add a caveat to that. I need to say that Armenian Orthodoxy is still in its infancy stage. In this sense, okay, we talk about a 2,000-year-old tradition of Armenian Orthodoxy, 1,700-year-old church, but in reality, it is about 100 years old, because after the genocide, you got to remember that everything that we know as the Armenian church is built on the remnants of those small group of that small group of people, on those few clergymen that were really concerned about keeping the doors open, about, you know, the structure of the church. And so we got consumed with building churches, making churches, instead of really talking about the real church, about the message that's inside, the message of love, the message of hope, the message of Christ, okay, Christian responsibility. So where is the purity of faith? Well, I don't blame anybody. It's obviously it's a product, a byproduct of this horrendous act of genocide. But here we are 100 years later. Can we talk something about more than just building a building? And certainly the message that's inside of that building has been the message that has preserved and kept us alive. Okay, so can we produce that? Can that be our shoe, so to speak, that we are now ready to sell? Yes, obviously it can be, because it does have multiple dimensions on which you can interact. When I talk about purity of faith, I sometimes wonder, because when we talk about Christianity, there's so much negativity associated with it because of some fanatics that go out there and want to create those barriers, want to become more Christian than Christ, okay, to put it bluntly. And Christ was not the judgmental one. He says, do not judge. He said it so plainly. He says, first remove the log out of your own eye so that you can see the speck in your brother's eye. Now think about that metaphor for a moment. Think about a giant log being lodged in your eye. What can you see in the world with that log in your eye? And yet we're out there picking apart other people. He says, first remove the log out of your own eye so that you can see the speck in your brother's eye. Now, Jesus is talking on personal level, on human relationships, but think about it on a global scale. Think about governments, and this is why I always come down on the politicians, on the politics. Why are these people in office? Because of power. It's not about bringing peace. Obviously, peace is not on the agenda, as we can see all around us. Peace is a nice pie-in-the-sky kind of idea, but over and over again, we appeal to might, we appeal to weapons, we appeal to destruction to bring about what? Peace. So what I'm saying is, let's not abandon the war machines that we have. Yeah, well, I'm saying that. Yeah, let's abandon that. But I'm not advocating for that, because obviously that's within the rhetoric of the politicians. What I'm saying is, let's change the rhetoric. Let's change the dialogue so that we are talking about love. We are talking about true peace. And these are attainable ideas. These are things that we can do when we ourselves are convinced of it. When the dialogue comes out of the hands of the politicians and comes into the hands of the spiritualists. And so you look at spiritualists, you look at church leadership. These are not spiritualists. These are leaderships. These are people that just are like politicians. They have they have aspired, and they have gained a certain place within their hierarchy, okay? And like any organization, any institution, the primary purpose of any institution, primary, is self-preservation. It's Darwinian, right? Survival of the species. Why do you procreate? Well, so you're species can survive beyond you. And so this is what politicians do. This is what leadership does. It's built in to the cause. I'm saying, let's abandon those models and let's start talking about the real objective. Isn't it peace? And so when I talk about purity of faith, I am so convinced that Armenodoxy is as pure as you get, because we're looking at the fundamental reason why we are here. Isn't it so that we can have peace? Not so that I can have a better position in life. not so that I can have a better chair on which to sit on, and so that I'm no longer the parish priest, but I am a primate. I'm no longer a primate, I am the Catholicos. I am the Pope. No, that's not what it's about. You can't aspire to those things. The minute you do, you lose sight of what's important. And you read into it anything you want. This is truly what has happened. This is what happens. Think about it. Anybody who advances to position. Think about it within your own company, within your own work, right? People who advance are people who have desires and aspirations for those certain positions, right? And having those kind of desires skews your outlook and takes you farther away from the purpose. Purity of faith is so essential in what we're talking about that I demand that we clear our minds. This is why it's so important that we go through these Lenten practices and these rituals of self-cleaning, of self-introspection. Why? Because at that time you start focusing in on what's important in life. And I'll talk to a bunch of people, I'll talk to 1,000 people, and they'll tell you peace is important. Out of those 1,000, how many can really identify manners in which peace can come about? We talked that, yeah, all you need is love. All you do need is love. I completely believe that. But how do you bring about that love? First of all, you have to become that ambassador, that agent of love. So in this sense, I've truly found a means by which we can bring about love, we can bring about peace in this world. To me, that's the pearl. To me, that's worth selling everything and buying that pearl. And once I have it, it's to share it with the world. And we do have it. That's what Armadoxy is about. It's stripping away all the nonsense and getting down to the basic core commandment, love one another. It's that easy. Can you love? Can you be can you implement love in your life? And that's in your relationships. That's in your outlook on life. That's the way you interact with the universe. That's how simple it is. But it does require some effort, right? Not because it's unnatural, but because we are bombarded. We are bombarded with all kinds of unnatural thoughts and elements. Let's get over the politics. Let's get over what people tell us what it's all about. And get to the real fundamental core and understand that love is innate. We do have that capacity. We're born with that capacity. And it's up to us to tap into it throughout our life. I'll let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Father Vosgen. Hi, this is Susie once again to thank you for your heartfelt prayers and support for this ministry. Since 2008, we have been broadcasting every week and distributing these broadcasts free of charge. We are now in the seventh year of broadcasting and heard on 6 continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vosgen.
Always important to keep us in your prayers. I met some lady last night and she was telling me about all these kind of things, how she follows us, she does all the things that we prescribe, and she listens to all the podcasts. And I asked her, do you pray for us? She says, of course I do. She says, you're on top of my list. It just meant so much to me. Yeah, okay. You know, you get it. Because once you pray, you understand that you're part of the equation too. And this is not just a ministry of one person, but it is truly the next step. It is the next step that we all need to take. It's not enough to proclaim a faith, but to act out that faith in our lives. So please do pray for us. Pass around the message. Get it out to people. Send the link over to your friends, whatever way you get it, whether you're listening to us on our app, on iTunes, on Blueberry, or just comes in on your email. You know, just forward the link and let people know about what's going on here in at the next step. Well, that about wraps it up for today. I am taking off for Armenia. Looking forward to being back with you in a few weeks with some new adventures and a lot of information. Next couple of weeks, we will still be broadcasting, so do check us out. You find us at all the usual spot. I'll be blogging probably on my Facebook page while from Armenia. So do check us out on Facebook. Epostle has its own page. Really interesting to go to epostle.net. That's really easy to remember. That's apostle with an E. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Epostle.net. You'll find today's show as well as all of our shows from the beginning of time, as well as all of our different podcasts, as well as videos. You'll even see me up there, okay, apostle.net. And of course, I said Facebook, didn't I? Yeah, we give them too much credit, don't we? Hey, listen, it's been a pleasure to produce today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it. On behalf of our wonderful crew over here, Susie, our producer, via our webman, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off, but I'm top limits.